Yeah, might be a little lofty on the expectations. Anybody familiar with the book, Five Love Languages? It's been out there for decades. Most people have read it, especially in Christian circles. Remember the five love languages, what they are? What are they? You've read it, but you can't remember. But no. Okay, what's that? Food is not one of them, no. Quality time, physical touch, and what's another one? What was that? Acts of service, that's right. Words of affirmation. I think you got them all, right? Did we get them all? Okay. So how many are, if you have ever classified yourself or done the assessment, how many have find yourself in the gift giving and receiving category? That's you. Okay. You gift. Not very many, really. Christmas must really stink at your house. Like, no, it's not my gift. I don't give anything. You're doomed. So, we're talking about that today. We're talking about giving and receiving gifts. We're here to today to just talk about the idea of a disciple. We're in this series on making disciples, being a disciple, and we're talking about the different facets of what that looks like. And so, we've talked about things like being a part of a church family. We've talked about the disciple and the Holy Spirit. We've talked about a disciple and the need for relationship with the Father. Today we're talking about a disciple and their gifts. And we want to talk about that in terms of what that means from, how many have ever heard a message? You sat in a church before, you heard a message on spiritual gifts. You ever heard it? Okay, lots and lots, right? Right? It's not like a new deal. It's like, what? Never knew. Yeah, you did. You just weren't listening. We're talking about that today in the context of more about the giver than the gift itself. I think too many times we concentrate on the gift, like what am I supposed to do with it? How am I supposed to deal with it? How do I develop it? How do I find it? And we don't think about the giver. And for those of you who are really major in gift giving and gift receiving, really like that part of life, to be the gift giver is probably more important than to be the gift receiver, right? The receiver is just a recipient. They didn't do anything to warrant the gift coming to them. They didn't do anything that put them in like special light to, oh, you're so special, I'm going to give you this gift. It's just gifts are given with basically no strings attached, just given, and we receive, and all we can do is receive. So there's not really a lot of special acclaim that comes to the recipient. All the acclaim goes to the giver. And God is the giver of those gifts. God is the giver of all gifts. And Bible is just full of language that talks about giving and the giver of those gifts, the God being the perfect giver of those gifts. But gifts are really special because what it does is it points out the fact that somebody was thinking about you when you got that gift. When you receive a gift, you go, oh, that was so cool. They were thinking about me. It's not about how valuable it is or how much money they spent, although bigger dollars are better. But it's usually more about the idea behind the gift. Like, oh, that's really unique. That you were thinking, pretty deeply about who I am and what I like and all that, and you gave me that gift. It's so appropriate. Thank you so much for thinking about it. You ever kind of process those thoughts? It's just really special when the people. Well, God is the one who intimately knows all of us. He knows us all so much so that he knows exactly what we need. And as a gift giver, he gives according to what he knows about us. He gives according to the care and concern that he has over us. And he gives the gifts that are the most appropriate for us. He's perfect in giving, and he knows us as the recipients, and he gives us exactly what we need. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who from or with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." He doesn't He's not like, oh man, I just don't know what to get you. I can't. We do that, right? We try to figure it out. I don't know, man. I'm just struggling, and you know, Black Friday's coming up, and I really want to get a good deal, but man, I want to kind of show them they're special. I don't know what to get. I don't. And we waffle, and we kind of and then when they open it, you go, oh, if you don't like it, I save the receipt. You know, we do that, right? How you do that? I save the receipt. God never has to save the receipt. He never does that. He never goes, you know, you're probably not going to like it, and it's not very, I don't know if it fits you. God just goes, man, I know you. I know what you need. I know how you're made. I know everything about you. Here is the perfect gift for you. And this is the way God deals with us in giving gifts. And bigger than that even is the idea behind the gift that we will use the gift for more than just for us. That the gift isn't just so that we can feel like, oh, God loves me. That's part of it. But attached to that is the idea that God loves me and he wants to use me in his purposes. He wants me to do something with this gift that he's given me. It's not me, for me to sit on my gift and just say, well, that's just too bad. I got my gift and get your own. But it's for us to say, God, this is such a great gift. Thank you for that. How can I use it to fulfill your purposes? How can I use it to extend your kingdom? How can I use it to demonstrate who you are to somebody else around me? This is the idea behind all of the gifts he gives us. They're not just for us, but they're for everybody around us as well. John 3:16 illustrates this perfectly. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us the gift of his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He gave us the gift of his son. And that gift is not just for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is for us, but it's not just for us. That gift is also for the whole world because he loves the whole world. And as we receive the gift, we also share that gift. It's just one of those things that we do. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, there's another gift that's mentioned that God gives. It's just an amazing gift. And he says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That free gift, just a perfect gift. We couldn't have done anything about that issue at all. We had no power to say, well, yeah, the wages of sin is death, and I deserve death, but I'm going to be good enough now that I'm going to work my way right into freedom. I'm going to work my way into sinlessness. I can't do that. I need a gift to get me out of the trouble that I'm in. And it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That comes through Christ. God's primary gift to us, his initial primary gift to us, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We talked about this gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, all kinds of other gifts are given, but we receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the primary gift that he has for us in this life. And we get that, and then the Spirit gives us other gifts and we utilize them in all kinds of other facets. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus is teaching. He says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks him for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us this great gift of the Holy Spirit. If you weren't here a couple weeks ago when we talked about that, great opportunity for you tonight is to show up here at 6 o'clock, and we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to go through this about probably an hour and a half or so of just talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's part of our core discipleship series that we're doing right now, five-part series. This is the third in the series. I just encourage you to show up. Learn about the Holy Spirit. Get more idea of what he wants to do, this gift that he's given to us. That happens tonight at 6. Then next week, this is just total commercials, but I don't care. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a Holy Spirit night, and we're not going to teach on the Holy Spirit. We're just going to experience the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a time where we worship and just receive from the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us up. Have times of experiencing the fullness of the Spirit in our life. It's a great gift. Why would we not, right? Why would we sit around and refuse the gifts of God? If his primary gift is the Holy Spirit, then why would we say, oh, no, that's not for me. I'd rather just, you know, whatever. That doesn't make sense. If God is a good God, he gives only good gifts, and we want to receive everything he has for us, let's receive the Holy Spirit. Let's just experience that together. It's a wonderful experience. All right, enough with the commercials. In defining spiritual gifts, John Piper says this, that spiritual gifts are abilities by which we receive the grace of God and dispense that grace to other people. They are abilities given by the Spirit which express our faith and aim to strengthen the faith of others. We are just the recipients of this, but we use them to dispense the grace of God. We receive the grace of God, and this is the grace of God that's not just the saving grace of God, but the grace of God in giving gifts of the Spirit to us. And in receiving those, we dispense them, we disperse them all around us in whatever way that we can, because it's a gift that's been given to me, and it's for me to utilize those to benefit the kingdom and those around me. And as we do that, we glorify God by serving. God gets a lot of glory when we serve him with his gifts, because what happens is they see, man, there's something in you. And we're able to say, yeah, that's what God did. He gave me this gift. He gave me a gift, and I'm just going to share that with you. And you ever been working in an area of your giftedness, of something that you're really uniquely talented at, and people go, man, you're amazing at that. You're amazing at that. And you're able to say, yeah, I know. Thanks a lot. I am pretty amazing. No, we don't say that. We say, hey, I have nothing out of me. This all comes from God. God's amazing. I'm amazed every time I hear somebody talented in music. Just like, how does that happen? Because that one skipped through my whole gene pool, has absolute no bearing in my gene pool whatsoever. But some people are just really good and think, how does that happen? That's just a gift of God being dispensed through their life, blessing other people. It's amazing. How about people who are really, really good at just being hospitable? People, how many of you love to have, like, just go face-to-face with people all the time? Just love to hang out with people. People are so cool. I just love in my house, in the coffee shops, and whatever. I just want to chat with people all the time. Just love people. I don't know. Where'd that one come from? That's an amazing one. That's a gift of God. You say, how does that happen to certain people that can just be so good at that? I think, well, God has done something. It's the gift of God coming through. People who are merciful and compassionate, I don't understand that one either. Just people who just love to be around misery and shed their mercy on people, say, oh, I just love you, just care for you. And I look at it, oh, you're kind of messy, and oh, it's a trouble, and God, we need to call somebody, you know. But there are those who just say, oh, I just want to dive right in. It's so cool. I love this. That's a mess. So when we're around people like that, we're able to see that's not normal. That's the gift of God. I'm not saying you're weirdly abnormal. A little bit, but not totally weirdly abnormal. But it is the gift of God. That God has done something, made you really unique in this ability that you have. Because it's not common to be able to do things like that. I think it's amazing to see people who just like to work. They just, gifts of service, acts of service is a spiritual gift, the Bible says. And these are people who just like to serve. They just do stuff all the time. They're always busy, and they're working, and they're helping other people. Can I help you do that? Can I? You know, it doesn't really matter what it is. I'll just be there for you. I'm just going to here to support you. I'm going to work for you. Like, wow, that's amazing. Good job. Way to go. Some of us have gifts that we'd probably rather not have. We wish we had others. But if you ever have tried that one at birthdays or Christmases, like, hey, I didn't want the blue one. I wanted the red one. Take it back. That doesn't really fly very well. We don't do that to God either, do we? Saying, God, hey, what is that? You gave me the gift of being a mouth? Come on. I wanted to be something else here. It doesn't work like that. We get what we get. We receive it with thankfulness, and we say, how can I serve God with this whole thing? It's a good, good way to go. So it talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, says that all of these, talking about all the different spiritual gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He gives out the spiritual gifts according to what he wants to do, not according to the things that we want. Now, we can have gift envy and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'd rather be like that person. I want to be more like that. I wish I had. Well, we could do that, but it doesn't do any good. It's the gift you have is the gift you have, or gifts, even plural. It's what you are. It's who you are. So utilize those things. Be who you are. Allow God to show you the best way to be you. So God, he's sovereign in the way he throws his gifts out. He knows us better than we know us. So he does that in a way that he wills, because that's the best call to make. In 1 Corinthians 12, 4, it says, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of this stuff comes from him. And so we just allow him to do the work that he wants to do in us. And it's the best way to go. Not fighting it, not walking away from it, not making excuses for not doing it. Speaking of that, why not? Why not use the gifts that we've gotten? It's an amazing thing that people receive a gift from God and hide it away. Tuck it in their heart and just kind of pretend it's for them, or pretend it's not important, or pretend it's not useful, or something like this. Crazy that people would do that. This is a gift from God. Why bucket that thing and just say, oh no, we'll deal with that one later, or not right now, not really. Why? Well, there's some excuses that I've heard over the years. Most of them, you know my saying on excuses, right? They're excuses like armpits. Everybody has them and they all stink. It's kind of like that with excuses. It's like, really? Really? You're going to try that one on me? No, that doesn't work. One of them is, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. If I knew more about what I was supposed to do, then I would. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a theologian. I don't know how to do what I'm supposed to do here. I just don't see that being realistic. I don't see that being legitimate. There's no prerequisite for receiving the gift, right? You received it because God bestowed it upon you. And there's very little prerequisite in presenting that gift to other people as well. I don't know enough. No. I've heard this one on multiple occasions. I don't want to get that involved. It's an interesting one, because you are involved as a part of the body of Christ. You don't get to excommunicate yourself, right? I'm not that involved. Oh, yes, you are. How many family members do that? You know, here's my 13-year-old daughter. Hey, don't really want to be that part of the family. No, thank you. Like, what? You already are. How do you excommunicate yourself from that role? That doesn't happen. You don't do that. You're part of the family. Doesn't matter what you think. So do you want to get involved with a part of the family, or do you want to be a lump on a log with a part of the family? That's the call you have to make. So that sounds really condemning. Not really intentional. Sort of, but not really intentional. I'm too busy. This one is a time management issue for you. If you're too busy, maybe there's a reprioritization that needs to occur in your life. Some people say, I'm just too busy to do anything, to serve in my giftedness. Like, then you're too busy. And your life is probably chaotic and out of control. And you need to dial back a little bit. And you need to prioritize, what has God done in my life? Who gave me the gift? What am I supposed to do with the gift that I've been given? And how do I deal with this gift in a way that blesses other people? How can I disperse my gift? Not, well, I don't know if I got time to jam it in here, jam it in there. It's like, we got to reprioritize a little bit. Jesus taught on this a little bit in Matthew. He said, Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added to you. Your life will still be full, is what he's saying, but put the kingdom first, and then you'll figure out how the rest of that stuff fits together. I don't know if you've ever seen the illustration of, you take two jars, exactly the same jar, big jars, and put sand in one of them, which represents, you know, the minutes of our life, and then you put big rocks in there, and you can't quite fit very many rocks in there around this. I should have just prepared this. This would have been a fun one. But if you take that same amount of rocks and sand and put the rocks in first and dump the sand over them, you got plenty of room for everything. And this is the way it is. When the Bible says, when Jesus was teaching, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the big rocks. Put those into life first. All the other things, all the other minutes of your life will fit around the big rocks. They will. But you have to realize the big stuff has to be scheduled in first. That's prioritization. It's just time management. Say, you didn't come here for that. Okay. The other one here, the fourth one is, I've served my time. And this one I love to deal with because this is what older people say. I've served my time. And I'm old, so I can bark at you, and it's okay, because I'm old too. There is no retirement plan in the kingdom of God, right? There is no retirement plan. To say I've served my time says I'm really just checking out. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I just want to be a recipient. We have a sweet, sweet 80-plus-year-old lady in this church who serves her time still, giving her life to people. We have two of them, actually, and they're both named Bonnie, right? And here's one right over here. Here's sweet Bonnie. Stand up, Bonnie. Look at that. Lovely lady. She serves people. She runs a 12-step program study. It's just like so much good stuff, serving, giving her life away to people. You're retiring? Are you retiring? Never, right? Gonna go see Jesus first. That's the heart of that. I've put in my time. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. All of these excuses. Here's my favorite one, though. I saved it for last. Isn't that what we pay you for? And actually, no, you don't want me in the nursery. You don't want me around your little kids teaching them. I just say, shut up, sit down, listen to me. It just doesn't, you don't want to see me there. This clergy laity divide thing that we experience in church culture started in feudalism in the Dark Ages. When actually, it probably started even before that. But the church has aided this thought, and where everybody, all the peons, the peasants, look to the Lord for everything. They look to the priest for everything. They look to get stuff dispensed to them because they're just recipients. They're just poor people looking to receive. And there's no way in the Bible, or that the Bible talks about that in a positive light. To just be people who, there's this hierarchy. Oh, these are the super gifters, and they got everything, and you got nothing. And you better get your goodies from them because there's no hope for you if you don't. Like, oh, that's such a pathetic way of looking at it. Really, the other way around is much more appropriate. That there is you turn that whole thing upside down, that there's absolutely no one more gifted than you. And you're the one that is dispensing to the people who need what you have in you. You're the one that has that stuff in you, ready to be dished out to people who need you. To say I'm not needed, or to say I'm not the pastor, or I'm not the church guy. Well, man, you are the church. And my pastor used to ask this question quite often. Said, "How many are full-time ministers in this congregation?" And you know, first timers would go like, "Oh, I don't know." And he'd always catch a few, and he'd go, "Ha! Let me ask that again. How many of you are full-time ministers?" Okay, I'll ask you, how many of you are full-time ministers? I know there's a learning curve. I know there's a learning curve. But let me ask this one more time. How many of you are full-time ministers? Okay. We're getting better. Okay, we'll do that maybe in a few weeks. We'll see how you do. We are all there. That's who we are. God has called us to minister. And the tragedy of this clergy-lady divide thing says that I go to church, but I'm not really part of the church other than I might be a member of the church. But I'm really here to receive. And I'm hoping that the pastor serves me well, and I'm hoping that the ushers really, you know, do their thing well. I hope I get greeted at the door with a smile. I hope the building is clean. I hope that, you know, there's good cookies and the coffee people are happy today and they do me a good job. Instead, we should be coming into the place saying, how is God going to use me today? What does God want me to do today? Who am I supposed to speak to today? Who am I supposed to encourage today? Who needs me in their life today? What job needs to be done that God has gifted me and enabled me to do? What is he empowering me to do? Those are the questions. And I know that sounds so foreign to us in our culture because church is not an active, participating kind of thing in our culture. It is supposed to be, but it's just not. It's where we go to basically spiritually veg. And so we're pew potatoes, just kind of sitting back and going, okay, click, I like that one, that's a good one. And we got potato chips dribbled down the front of us, you know, actually in our case it's muffins and cookies, and we're just kind of like, you know, like, oh, this is good, the coffee, oh, it's a little cold, warm it up, please. And then we're just like, okay, pastor, come on, can you be like better, funnier, or shorter, or I am already 5'7". I can't get any much shorter than that. But if we come into a place thinking, you serve me, then we're going to do nothing. But that's not the way the body of Christ is built. And even the verbiage, body of Christ, implies many members, all kinds of different functions, but just one body. All kinds, and you know, the verbiage of Scripture is that if the parts of the body aren't all functioning, then we call that dysfunction, right? And if all parts aren't playing their roles, some part of the body is going to be unhealthy. And so the sad truth in reality, and I'd hate to even admit that's true here, but I know it is this 80-20 principle applies to us just as much as it does just about everywhere else, where 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And I would like to see 100% of the work done by 100% of the people. That's the goal we have. But that happens when everybody comes to a place in their life where they say, I am here to serve. God has gifted me. God has given me special, unique abilities and talents that are meant to be fitted into a body that's working properly. I'm going to skip around on my notes a little bit, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love, as we're growing up, it's talking about growing up, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, us as the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now that's a description of what the hope is for Cedar Springs, and I'm sure for many other churches around this community, that every part is fitted into the place that it belongs, and every part is operating properly, joined and fitted together just right, so that the body grows up in love, so that there's health, there's just a solid feel when people are in need. Man, their needs are met because the people with compassion and mercy gifts are all over it. When people are lonely, the people with hospitality gifts are like, I'm here for you. When work needs to get done, the people with acts of service gifts are, bam, they're all over it. When you need a word from God, the gifts of prophecy are getting poured out on you and you get it. See, all of these gifts happen when every part does its work, when every member is supplying. It doesn't work if we're pew potatoes. It doesn't work. And then it's like, what's wrong? I don't know. I just don't feel like I'm. We have got to get beyond this idea that I'm here to be served. For even Christ didn't come to earth to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. To give. That's a description of his believers as well. We're his kids. We're God's kids, and we come as recipients of gifts that are to be dispersed among others. And so that God has gifted you is undeniable by Scripture. You are gifted. You're unique. You have talents and abilities that nobody else has. And the only way that the body grows is when you integrate fully into the body and say, my gifts are for more than me. My gifts are for this place to grow up, to build this body up in love. That's what this life is really all about in Christ. And to sit back and say, well, I do have these gifts, but not interested. It's more than just a shame. I believe it's a sin. I think it's one of those things where we say, God, thanks for the gift. Take it back. Don't want it. I don't want to be responsible for it. I just don't see that. I can't see where that fits into any scheme of Scripture. It just doesn't work. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter dives in and he says this, the end of all things is at hand. Now, when you start a sentence out with that phrase, you're really catching some attention, right? The end of all, oh guys, guess what? End of all things is at hand.
What?
Like, in other words, check it out. Listen up. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, why are we doing what we do? In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, when you serve and you do what God has gifted you to do, it isn't because you're so cool. It isn't that so that you can get accolades. It isn't so that you can even feel good about what you've done. Although those things all happen. The reason we do what we do is in the last part of this, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, that God uses the pathetic efforts that we put out there through the good gifts that he has given to us, and everybody turns and says, isn't God amazing? Isn't God great? Look what God's able to do through that pathetic individual. See, that's what happens, and that's really where it should be, right? Because we really don't come to him saying, all right, God, you're so lucky because here I am, you know? It's like, it's not what happens. We come to God, we go, God, I'm just kind of poor, wretched, miserable, blind. I just got nothing. Could you save me? Could you help me? Could you bring me into relationship with you? Could you wipe away the misery of my past? I got nothing to bring to you but junk. And you give me gifts? Could you possibly use this broken vessel and just do something that would really bless the people around me? Isn't that the way it comes? What do we have that we haven't received? What good thing do we have that we have not received? It's just, it's not us. And so these gifts, they get poured out on us. And God just lavishes his gifts. And, you know, obviously the first one is the gift of grace. He just gives us grace. So he receives us and says, man, welcome home, child. Welcome home. Your sins are wiped away. You come to me. It's all clean. And then he starts bringing us to this point of usefulness where he says, I'm going to gift you to be able to do special things that you alone are created for. And if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, talks about we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God beforehand created for us to do. It's like this is it's this pre-planned destiny. That's why we believe so strongly in the sovereignty of God around here. Because God knows you. He created you. He knew you before you were born. He created you as you are so that you can be useful in his plan to see everything point to the glory of God. That's a beautiful plan. And for us to refuse to play our part in that, it spits in the face of the giver. Now, let me do this. This is a minor disclaimer. I'm not doing this because we need more Sunday school teachers, okay? I'm not doing this because we need more people who can, you know, whatever, mow the grass, clean the building, make more coffees. I don't know. We're not doing it because there's this need. We're doing this because God has done a great thing in making you as you are. And this is for us as a body to say, let's bring that all together and say, let's move together. And remember, this is all in the series of disciple, being a disciple and making disciples. And we cannot be disciples if we don't serve. We can't. If we don't use the gifts that God has given to us, we're sitting on the sideline and we just allow the kingdom of God to kind of happen. And we're just going, man, there's some shortcomings in that church. I think I'll leave. You're the shortcoming. I mean, I'm not being accusatory, but I'm just saying that there's a possibility that what you could add could help that church, whether it's this church or any other church. There's a possibility. Let's not throw that out the window, okay? That God has given you the ability to do some things only you can do, and you probably see the things that you can do that are not happening in the place around you. I've seen that happen so many times. Like, people who are super sensitive to being welcomed are usually pretty critical of how poorly they've been welcomed. You know? Boy, this church isn't very friendly. I walked in the door and nobody even said hi to me. Well, you must be really sensitive to that because you're probably gifted to be able to do that. You ought to just jump right in. Yeah. You know, I have this need, but nobody even asked me about my need. I even put on a mopey face and nobody even said, are you okay? Well, you probably have the gift of mercy because you're super sensitive to it. And we probably need you to be real merciful around here. Is this too blunt? Oh, my. D.L. Moody, famous evangelist of 100 plus years ago, said this, and words are still really poignant today. It says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do by the grace of God, I will do. Isn't that great? You know what? You can't do everything, but you can sure do something. You're not everything, but you have something in you. And if we all would say, you know what, whatever God has given to me, I commit to do with all my heart. I believe that we would see the body of Christ built up, we would see God glorified, and we would see strong, healthy believers fulfilling their destiny in God. So let's have the worship team come up. But if there's questions in any of that, we're going to have another class in this core discipleship series that's going to be happening after the holidays called the Serve class. And that class is just going to talk about this and what that all means. It's going to happen sometime, I think, late January is when it's on the books. But just as a precursor to that, If you're anxious right now, chomping at the bit, say, man, pastor, that was an amazing preach right there. You did just such a phenomenal job. And if anybody aren't thinking that, then that's okay. I'm used to it. But if that's the case, you say, I just want to serve right now. How can I dive in? What can I do? If you feel you have like the gift of mercy, compassion, I believe some of the greatest places you can serve are at Harvest House. Saturday morning, we distribute food to over 100 families a week who come in here in real desperate situations. And mercy thrives in that environment. You could be a part of Celebrate Recovery, help walking people through some of the struggles that they're going through in their life, just standing with them, encouraging, and all of that. If you have the gift of hospitality, you can have people over to your house. Yeah. You could join a connect team. You could host a small group. If you have the gift of leadership, you could lead a small group. That'd be awesome. If you're gifted in music and worship, be a part of the thing that these guys are doing. You notice we're down a bass player today? How many play bass in here and you're sitting on the bench? You're not going to raise your hand, obviously, but do you love kids? Other people's kids, too. Not just your own. We have always would love to see more teachers in our Sunday school classes. Just what we do. We'd like to start one more class for separate out the 10s and 11s from the 7 to 11 class and have their own class. We'd love to do that. We just don't have the teachers. We've wanted to do that for a year, but we don't have the teachers. So I figured if I guilted you on a Sunday morning, maybe some of you would come up. So is acts of service your thing? You just like to serve, work, you know, whatever. Help out in the community garden we have out front. Katie, I see you standing over here. She's in charge of, stand up if you can. She's going in for a knee replacement real soon. So, yeah. So she's the head of our garden. And if you want to help out, if you just like, man, I just like to work. Well, that's a great place for people who just like to work. You could also help out doing maintenance and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. If you have the gift of encouragement, the gift, some people are just like that. You spend a little time with them and you go, wow, that felt so good. I love that person. They're so great. And they may not have said anything, but they're just so encouraging. It just oozes out of them, right? If you have the gift of encouragement, there are plenty of people all around you looking to be encouraged this morning. Get in some really good conversations with people and encourage people. We give you free license to do that, right? If you have the gift of generosity, give. Absolutely. We love that gift around here. If you have the gift of prophecy, we want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. We want to hear. We want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Use the gift of prophecy, all right? There's all kinds of other things, but we really don't have time for all that. But here's the reality is that each one of us, guys, each one of us needs to find our spot. Coach, send me in and say, how am I gonna be a part of this thing that's going on here? How can I be a part of the family? Everybody's going to do it differently. Everybody's going to be unique in the way that they administer the gifts, but everybody's got something, right? And let's just purpose to do that with all our heart, right? All right. All right. Hey, let's stand up and sing this song. All right. So hopefully what I've said hasn't come off harshly. I just want to preach truth to you, right? Just truth. It's just truth. And so it's more about how we receive the thing that God has given to us and understanding the giver of those good things. It's like, God, what's your heart? What's your intention in making me like you've made me? What do you really, what did you want me to do with my life the way you've created me? And just to carry that out. And it takes some experimentation and all kinds of different things are in play, but just go for it. Nothing you do is going to be fatal, all right? I mean, you're not going to be killing somebody by using your gift. It'd have to be a weird gift, okay? So, and I really don't think that's the truth. So just dive in. If you have any questions about that, how can I even fit into this church more? How can I serve here? Just talk to us, any of us, any of the people you see with badges or, you know, leaders, just talk to us and figure that out. Just dive in, all right? Father, thank you so much for your goodness. You are the good giver. You are the best gift giver. And Father, as recipients of your gifts, we just want to be faithful. And I pray that you would really burden our hearts to do that. God, that you would help us to understand who we are, how you've made us, and how best to be used to fulfill your purposes and move your plan forward. So God, help us in every facet of our lives to just be faithful to you, to do everything we can to see you glorified and to see your kingdom move forward. Trust you're going to do that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.